Eddie. It was better outside. So much better, I almost felt, as I hurried along after George, that the whole thing in Shed B had been a dream. Surely there were no monsters with pink strings growing out of their heads, and trunks with eyes in them, and talons with hair growing out of them. Reality was our subject in the back seat of Unit 6. That debonair, girlfriend-punching puke, ladies and gentlemen, let's give him a great big hand, Brian Lippi. I was still afraid of the Buick, afraid as I'd never been before or have been since, and I was sure there was a perfectly good reason to feel that way, but I could no longer remember what it was, which was a relief. I trotted to catch up with George. "Hey, man, I might have gotten a little carried away in there. If I did..." "Shit," he said in a flat, disgusted voice, stopping so quick I almost ran into his back. He was standing at the edge of the parking lot with his hands curled into fists that were planted on his hips. "Look at that." Then he called, "Shirley, you all right?"
"Fine," she called back. "But Mr. D..." "Oh, sugar, there goes the radio. I have to get that."
"Doesn't this bite?" George said in a low voice. I stepped up beside him and saw why he was upset. Six's right rear window had been broken clean out to the door frame, undoubtedly by a pair of cowboy boots with stacked heels. Two or three kicks wouldn't have done that, maybe not even a dozen, but we'd given my old school chum Brian plenty of time to go to town. Rowdy Dow and a hot cha-cha, as my old mother used to say. The sun was reflecting fire off 1,000 crumbles of glass lying heaped on the hot top. Of Monsieur Brian Lippi himself, there was no sign.
"Fuck!"
I shouted, and actually shook my fists at Unit 6. We had a burning chemical tanker over in Pogus County, we had a dead monster rotting in our back shed, and now we also had one escaped neo-Nazi asshole, plus a broken cruiser window. You might think that's not much compared to the rest, kid, but that's because you've never had to fill out the forms, beginning with 24A24, Damaged Property PSP, and ending with Complete Incident Report, Fill Out All Appropriate Fields. One thing I'd like to know is why you never have a series of good days in which one thing goes wrong, because it's not that way, at least not in my experience. In my experience, the bad shit gets saved up until you have a day when everything comes due at once. That was one of those days, the granddaddy of them all. George started walking toward Six. I walked beside him. He hunkered down, took the walkie out of its holster on his hip, and stirred through the strew of broken safety glass with the rubber antenna. Then he picked something up. It was our pal's crucifix earring. He must have lost it when he climbed through the broken window.
"Fuck,"
I said again, but in a lower voice.
"Where do you think he went?"
"Well, he's not in with Shirley, which is good. Otherwise, down the road, up the road, across the backfield, and into the woods. One of those. Take your pick." He got up and looked into the empty back seat. "This could be bad, Eddie. This could be a real fuck-a-row. You know that, don't you?"